All right, so today we're diving into something pretty profound.
Yeah.
Eternity.
Big topic.
It is a big topic. And not just eternity in kind of a general sense, like, oh yeah, time goes on forever. But we're looking at what Jesus himself had to say about it.
Absolutely.
You sent in some really fascinating passages and online discussions about this, just glancing over them. I can already see why this topic resonates so deeply with people.
It's one of those concepts that's just both captivating and a little bit daunting at the same time, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, and I think you're right. These passages have had a profound impact on countless lives throughout history.
For sure. For sure. Well, let's just jump right in.
Okay.
Why don't we start with what might be the most famous verse of all?
Okay.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I feel like even people who've never even picked up a Bible have at least heard this one.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely iconic. And even in its simplicity, it lays out this core tenet of Christian belief that faith in Jesus leads to eternal life. But then the question becomes, what does that actually mean? What did Jesus actually teach about the nature of this everlasting life?
That's what I find so intriguing about it.
Yeah.
It's a promise, but it also sparks so many questions.
Right.
Like, okay, so when does this eternal life begin?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Because in John 5:24, Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life."
Okay.
So notice there, the present tense
Okay.
has everlasting life. It's not something we receive after death. It's something that begins the moment we believe.
See, I always thought of eternal life as something that, starts after we die.
Right.
So this idea of already possessing it is kind of mind-blowing.
It is.
So it's not a future event. It's a present reality. But what does that even look like? This passing from death into life
Right.
while we're still here.
Yeah, that's where this concept of spiritual death and life comes in. Okay,
Okay.
so in the Bible, death isn't just this physical event,
Right.
it's also a spiritual state of being separated from God.
Right.
So eternal life then isn't just about living forever. It's about being reconciled with God,
Right.
having that restored relationship with him, and that starts right now.
Wow, and this life, this connection with God is unbreakable, right?
Yeah.
Because John 10:28 says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." I mean, that image of being held securely,
Right.
never to be lost,
Yeah.
that is incredibly powerful, especially, in a world that often feels so uncertain.
Absolutely. I think it speaks to that deep human need for security, for belonging, and it ties into a theme we see throughout John's gospel, this idea of being in Christ, of being united with him in a way that can't be undone.
Okay, so we have this incredible promise of eternal life,
Right.
a life that starts now and can't be taken away.
Yeah.
But then in John 14:2-3, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not. So I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Wow.
What's going on here? Is he talking about an actual physical place?
That is the million-dollar question,
Yeah.
and it's one that's been debated for centuries.
For sure.
Some people interpret this passage very literally,
Right.
believing that it describes an actual place called heaven. Others see it more metaphorically, suggesting that the place Jesus is preparing is a state of being,
Okay.
a perfect union with God.
I mean, both interpretations are incredibly compelling, though. Whether
Yeah.
it's a physical place or a state of being,
Right.
it speaks to this deep human longing for a home, for a place of ultimate belonging and peace, especially after we leave this life behind.
Exactly. And I think it connects back to that idea of being in Christ. Wherever Jesus is, whether in a physical heaven or in this perfect state of being,
Right.
that's where believers will be too.
And this idea of being with Jesus makes me think of John 17:3,
Okay.
where he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent."
Right.
So eternal life isn't just about a location or a length of time.
Right.
It's about knowing God and Jesus.
And it's crucial to remember that knowing, in the biblical sense, goes far beyond just intellectual knowledge. It's about experiencing God, having a deep, intimate relationship with him. It's about love, trust, and communion.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, how do we cultivate that kind of knowing in our own lives?
Mm-hmm.
Is it through prayer? Is it through studying scripture? Is it through serving others? What steps can we take to truly know God in that deep relational way?
That is a question each of us has to wrestle with. But I think the beauty is that the invitation is open to everyone.
Right.
God desires that kind of relationship with us, and he's given us the tools to seek it out.
But of course, there's another aspect to this whole idea of eternity.
Yeah.
We can't ignore Matthew 25:46, where Jesus talks about eternal punishment.
Right.
Which he contrasts with eternal life. And this is where things get a lot more challenging, at least for me.
Sure.
How do we reconcile this idea of eternal punishment with the concept of a loving God?
You're not alone in that struggle.
Okay.
It's a verse that has caused a lot of debate and theological wrestling.
Yeah.
There are many different interpretations out there.
Right.
But regardless of the specific interpretation, it really underscores the weight of our choices and the reality of consequences, even in the afterlife.
It definitely makes you think about the kind of life we're choosing to live right now.
Absolutely.
You know, if eternity is a reality, whatever form it takes.
Right.
Shouldn't that impact how we treat others, the decisions we make, the way we spend our time?
Absolutely. I think these verses, well, just a glimpse into what the Bible says about eternity, offer this really powerful framework for how we understand life, death, and our relationship with God. They invite us to consider the internal implications of our actions and to seek a deeper understanding of who God is and what he desires for us.
This has been a fascinating and honestly a little overwhelming deep dive.
It is a big topic.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's left me with more questions than answers.
That's good, though.
Which I think is a good thing.
I think so.
You know, if these verses teach us anything, it's that the concept of eternity is meant to be wrestled with, explored, and discussed.
Exactly. And remember, these verses are just the beginning of the conversation.
Right.
Keep searching, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep seeking that deep personal knowledge of the God who offers us a life that extends beyond our wildest imaginings.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And to all of you listening, thanks for sending in your questions and keep them coming because, you know, we love to explore them together.
Absolutely.
Until next time.
See ya.